Blast of the Progressive Radio Network. It's MBL on PRN.FM. This June 14th, 2016 edition, episode 94 of Nature Bats Blast comes to you live from the Mud Hut in southern New Mexico. Our thanks to Afrozen for his theme song contribution. You can find more of his work on SoundCloud.com. Today's a call-in show, so please give us a toll-free call at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. It's a social criticism show with an emphasis on wealth disparity. We'll play clips from some of our favorite social critics, and then we'll comment.
The blog has been focusing on social commentary for more than a year, in addition to the frequent updates to the long climate change essay. And Mike, your writing for the Good Men Project also turns the lens onto society, so this kind of show is overdue. We'll play a few audio clips and then comment on the nature of the civilized world through our countercultural lenses. If this works for us, and also for our listeners, perhaps we'll continue the trend for future shows. First, though, a brief comment about last week's show, in which we focused on the educational industrial complex. In timely fashion, a magazine called The New Philosopher tackled the notion of public education's perils in its May 2016 issue. The first article in the issue is titled, Why School Must Change. I'll be holding my breath.
All right. Well, let's get the show started. Let's start with a clip from Bill Burr as he shines a light on a hero figure in this culture. Burr's take, like that of many stand-up comics, is refreshingly different from the news we receive from the mainstream outlet. So let's play that clip.
Actually, nerd Jesus died in the last year, right? Steve Jobs. Yeah, he died, right? I know, a lot of nerds here tonight. I know, you're sad. I didn't get it. I didn't get the big deal they made about that guy. When he died, they were like, he changed the world. That was insane. He changed the world. The world was one way, and then Steve Jobs came, and it was another. What did he do? Somebody, for the love of God, what the fuck did that guy do? What did he do? He told other people what to invent? I want my entire music collection in that phone. Get on it! Right? And then these poor, nameless, faceless scientists got to go in a back room and figure it out. How the fuck are we going to get all of this into this? I mean, what year does this guy think this is? This is crazy. This is like Buck Rogers. Dude, my kid has a birthday in like 11 months. Steve Jobs just walking by. I don't hear any thinking going on in there. Just strutting around the office, eating some pretentious fruit like a pear, right? Just throwing out ideas. Another one I just came up with on the way to work. I was reading a magazine the other day, turning pages, you know? I like to turn pages on a screen that aren't even there. Yeah, wrap your fucking heads around that, guys. See you in 8 years. Where you going, Michael? Big, little, get on it! Right? And all these people slave away to make his vision come true. And then they have the big nerd fest, right? down there at Comic-Con and all their nerd mecca. They're all showing up with their acne and their Hulk shirts, limping into the arena, right? Does Steve Jobs go out with a whole chorus line of scientists? No, he goes out there by himself. Sneakers and no belt, like it was no biggie, right? Like he's Tesla tapping into the atmosphere. I know, this is always uncomfortable. I know, you bought into it, right? That whole advertising, the way they aligned themselves with some of the greatest people of all time. Jesus, Gandhi, me! Remember that? Muhammad Ali, John Lennon, this guy! How the fuck was that dude like any of them? Gandhi didn't have a sweatshop. Nah, he didn't have people leaping to their deaths only to catch a net and get ricocheted back through the window to have to put together yet another iPad. John Lennon didn't have children in his basement pressing those fucking albums. I know. New phone can't fit the old charger. This is your hero? This is the guy? This is what all the silence is about? New phone can't fit the old charger, so then you gotta throw it out, ends up in the ocean around some octopus's neck. Do you realize how much sea life is ecstatic that that man is no longer walking the earth? That's where it all ends up, you know. Doesn't go in a landfill, ends up in the ocean. You realize that? I hate people who say I don't pollute. I don't pollute. Yeah, you do. You use shit and you throw it out. What do you think? Because you put it in like a basket, it just poof, disappears? Everything you ever used is somewhere. You ever think about that? Remember that flannel shirt you bought back in the day when you got into Pearl Jam? That's out there somewhere. Probably on some porpoise's face, trying to get it off. Stupid little flippers. All the fads. You remember rollerblading? Remember that? Everybody had them. We set up cones, we did little tricks, right? One little homophobic joke killed that entire fad. What's the hardest thing about rollerblading? Telling your parents you're gay. Full-grown adults. Dude, I'm not gay. I don't have the cooties. These mean I suck dick. And they just threw them out.
All right.
Was it just us, or was that funny?
Well, it speaks to many things, obviously. I don't exactly recall what was said, but I remember Obama, I think it was early in his first term, mentioned something about how entrepreneurs, they don't just do it all on their own.
Right.
You know, it was, and people just threw a fit. Like, you know,
right.
I didn't create this or build this thing just all on my own. I didn't start this business all on my own. You know, there's thousands of, you know, relationships
right.
in it.
Right. There's the entire infrastructure. He was pointing out that
yeah.
the government actually facilitated some things and didn't facilitate other things.
Right.
By creating the infrastructure. And in the libertarians in the corporate world freaked out.
Yeah.
They can do anything. They don't need no stinking government.
Right.
This is where I think libertarians are confused about anarchism and and civilization.
Yeah.
There's another thing we need explained.
Libertarians are the kind of guys, usually white, that have everything the way they want it, now just don't fuck with it.
Right.
Like, all of that governmental help and all of those laws and policies that have been passed over the years, all that entitlement,
it's just leave it be. Right.
Everybody else,
now,
make it on your own.
You used to agree with me about this, but I don't think you do anymore. I used to say cats are libertarians.
Oh. Wow.
Cats would wander around, and they'd say, I'm better than you.
Right.
They're completely aloof. They don't need you for nothing.
Right.
But take away their bowl for one day.
Right.
And they're shitting bricks.
Right.
They're like, you can't do this to me.
Yeah. Guy says this because I've become a cat owner in the last 9 months. And no, I still agree.
No. No, you haven't become a cat owner. That cat owns you.
True. I've become a cat lover.
Right. It's a very different kind of thing.
No, but I think that it speaks perfectly to the whole Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett phenomenon. Is, you know, Donald Trump, perfect example.
Right.
All these guys, as far as a lot of people are concerned, are self-made.
Right. Right.
And they'll tell you so.
Right. Of course they will. They're self-made men.
Yeah.
White men.
Right.
Benefiting from a system created by white men.
Right.
So never mind that. Never mind the whole system. Let's talk about the kinds of things that the government promotes and doesn't promote through its every action.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know where the line between Google and the NSA starts and ends, but Google is providing an enormous service, we'll say at the very least, for the NSA, for the security police state. And I heard right after I bought this piece of shit Lenovo computer of mine, I learned right after that that it was actually designed and built to harvest data.
Mm.
Well, of course it is. So if I leave it on longer than about 15 minutes, it's just cranking, it's slowing down. The squirrels are in there trying to transmit data to the NSA as fast as they can. And now the thing doesn't even work at all. I turn it on yesterday or today or whenever, and this is a week after it downloaded Windows 10 on me.
Oh, I don't.
Yes, on its own. I called the guy at the shop this morning.
Hello,
and
Dave.
I told him my machine downloaded the Windows 10 by itself. And he turns to the tech and he says, hey, this guy on the line downloaded Windows and he's trying to blame Windows for it. Can you fix that? And I'm like, no, it downloaded itself. I turned my back for 10 seconds. I turned back around and Windows is going away.
It's like 2001 Space Odyssey.
It is.
So if you Google, does NSA show up?
I think they have better algorithms than that to protect themselves. Another thing Bill Burr brought up, and by the way, I never heard of Bill Burr until a week ago when somebody sent me that clip, and now he's popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
And now that he's been on this show.
Oh, Christ, he's going to go viral.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should be asking for a commission about
it. And I asked him to be on the show. I haven't heard shopping, but...
shocking, you haven't heard from. One of the things he says in there is that everything goes somewhere, right? And he talks specifically about the ocean.
Right.
And I'm reminded a friend of mine in Tucson has one of those kitchen placards, like almost everybody has, with these clever little things. And the little expression on hers is, the ocean fixes everything. Unless you're that porpoise with that T-shirt on your face.
Right.
Or whatever it was. Right. Then the ocean didn't fix everything.
Right. Can you imagine the amount of waste that is still dumped into the ocean today, but before it became something that of sort of a black eye on industry, like what was happening?
Right. Right.
Up until, like, I don't know, a couple years ago.
Exactly. Yes, until it became blatantly illegal to dump stuff into the ocean.
Right.
And there were people actually watching.
Yeah. And I think people also forget about, and I know this is the case because my cousin lives in San Diego, you don't go in the ocean after a rainstorm because of runoff.
Oh, right. I mean, and there's all that nasty crap that ends up, where's it end up? It ends up in the ocean.
Right
there offshore. You don't want to go wading in that stuff.
Down over the ocean.
Burn your feet off.
Right. No. And that's something we just kind of take for granted. So. All right. You want to move on?
Well, I had another idea.
Oh, you did. Oh, boy.
Oh, this is a call-in show. I wanted to say that again.
Oh, yeah.
Give us your toll-free call at 888-874-4888. And I had another thing, but I already forgot, so we can move on.
All right, so let's go.
Okay. At this point in time, I think most people know the United States does not employ a capitalist economy. Well, actually, it is capitalism, as described by Paul Ehrlich and Ann Ehrlich in their 2004 book, One with Nineveh, It's Capitalism for the Poor and Socialism for the Rich. George Carlin had something to say about the American economic model in his owner's clip. So let's go ahead and play that.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
So, we talked about the educational system just last week. In fact.
Yeah.
And he brought it up there about the enslavement that continues as a result of that process. People tell me all the time the system is broken. Actually, I think the system is fixed. This is not fixed for me and you.
No. I mean, it's working perfectly as it's designed to do.
Yeah. So the lead article, New Philosopher, Why School Must Change.
Yes.
There's no way school is going to change.
No. And if it does change, the change will be something that's still beneficial to
right. Well, it'll be incremental change as it has been for a long time,
right,
where there'll be more testing, and the testing will be increasingly irrelevant to critical thinking and more in line with creating obedient slaves.
Yeah, it's usually, at least at the high school level of public education, it's recycled change. It just gets relabeled. And so if you're there long enough, usually about every 4 or 5 years, you get something that you had 4 or 5 years previous. It's just called something different with a slight tweak to it and a new PowerPoint with it.
Right after I took my first sabbatical leave to the University of California in Berkeley, they had switched to the semester system to save money. And it was just less than 10 years before that they had switched to the quarter system to save money. So apparently if they just keep switching every few years, the quarter system is semester system, back and forth, pretty soon they'll be able to operate that place for nothing. Because they save money every time. I don't know why they don't change it every year.
Ooh.
Ooh. I can make a lot of money as an entrepreneur proposing that sort of thing.
Right,
sure.
Right.
I can go in as a consultant.
But I think, you know, he talks about owners and he talks about politicians, and we pretty much get the same game plan or same scenario every 4 to 8 years, depending on what's happened with the incumbent. And I'm still shocked that people who are activists, people who call themselves radicals, people who are in the doomer community, are still trying to convince others who to support for a presidential election.
Right.
I mean, I have people out there who are telling me, you know, never Trump. I have people out there trying to push a Bernie Sanders run no matter what, sign this petition.
Petition.
Yeah.
Petition.
But there are, every once in a while I have somebody that will friend request me, and it'll be like a feel the burn for their profile picture, and I look to see who their friends are, and their friends are like, you and Hester, and it's a bunch of doomers, basically.
Right.
And I'm like, huh? I don't.
Right.
I need some things explained to me with this next show.
Exactly. I don't understand the commitment. The commitment to pursuing that governmental agenda that has failed for the last 200 and how many years?
Yeah,
quite a few. Other than everything and everybody being owned by these relatively few people, I think the system must be fine, right? Other than everybody and everything.
I'm sure. It just shows how strong the narrative is. And it starts with your educational system, that people who consider themselves really radical and consider not much time left for humanity in general,
right,
cannot even meet the requirement for the most basic form of resistance. Just don't go to the fucking voting booth.
Right, yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Or write in me.
Or write in me.
Or you.
And that's even another thing. They can't even, they have to do something. Like, if I'm not going to vote, I'm going to write in somebody.
Right.
Because, this is a thing I have to do.
I have to do something.
This is a thing.
We have to do something.
And this is a something. No, it's not. It's a nothing.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like a something.
Maybe it's a something. Maybe it's a something that falls into the category of a waste of your time and energy something.
Maybe. What was that sticker we saw?
I wonder if we're going to have any listeners at all after the show. What was it, a sticker we saw?
A sticker we saw about voting yesterday. I got it right here.
Well, there's a Meteor one.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Meteor 2016. Let's just get it over with. That's my bumper sticker.
I've seen nobody for 2016, which I think is a great one.
Oh, yeah.
This one, the real sticker. I continued the cycle of my own oppression today. And it's got that little American flag.
Right.
That voting sticker.
Yeah. And it used to say, I voted early.
Right.
And now it says what again?
It says, I continued the cycle of my own oppression today.
Which is, I voted early.
Right.
Okay, if anybody's left out there, we're still taking your calls. 888-874-4888. So feel free to tell us what we got going wrong here. Okay. Want to move on?
Sure.
Next clip?
Yeah.
Bill Hicks, the stand-up comic who died tragically young in 1994, had something to say about the factors motivating wealth disparity. In this clip, he addresses, in fewer than 3 minutes, the industry that coerces us to buy stuff we don't need with money we don't have.
By the way, if anyone here is in marketing or advertising, kill yourself. Thank you. Just planting seeds. Planting seeds is all I'm doing. No joke here. Really, seriously, kill yourself. You are no rationalization for what you do. You are Satan's little helpers. Kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself now. Now, back to the show. Seriously, I know the market people are going to be a joke coming up. There's no fucking joke. Suck a tailpipe, hang yourself, borrow a pistol from an NRA buddy, do something, rid the world of your evil fucking presence. Okay, back to the show. Planting seeds. They bear fruit? I don't know. Feel better plan. You know what bugs me, though? I know everyone here who's in marketing is now thinking the same thing. Oh, cool. Bill's going for that anti-marketing dollar. That's a huge market. Quit it. Don't turn everything into a dollar sign, please. Ooh, the plea for sanity dollar. Huge. Huge market. Look at our research. In marketing, the most evil concept ever. Like, for instance, I saw this. You know what they do to movies now? This just drives me crazy. They show movies now to test audiences before the movie is released and then change the movie to 200 random Yahoos. Underline Yahoo, point some fingers at it with a big exclamation fucking point. Yeah, fucking who? liked it or did not like it, as though we are all the same, as though we have the same taste, as though. For instance, saw a movie this year called Basic Instinct. Now, Bill's quick capsule review.
Piece of shit.
Thank you. That's all it was, by the way. Don't get caught up in the phony hysteria surrounding this
piece of shit
film. Was it too sexist? And what about the... Did you think... You're way off base. You've forgotten how to perceive correctly. Take a deep breath. Watch it again. Hey, it's a piece of shit. Exactly. That's all it ever was
a piece of shit.
I just had to say that and clear it up. This phony hype around this piece of shit film drove me crazy. Anyway, after I saw it about 8 times... Come to find out, after seeing this film, all of the lesbian sex scenes... Let me repeat this part of the show. All of the lesbian sex scenes were cut out of this film because the test audience was turned off by them. Boy, is my thumb not on the pulse of America.
Different clip than we thought.
We thought we were doing the marketing thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's our fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he talks about marketing, and he talks about, if I recall the actual context of the clip, he talks about how marketing is basically from Satan.
Yeah. Yes, Satan's little helper. Yeah. That's what he refers to people who are into marketing and advertising. Because they're promoting the notion of consumption.
Yeah.
Which has driven us to the abyss.
Right.
We just consume, right? Mm-hmm. And we're told from birth that that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's the doomer niche, guy. It's a good niche. It's a good market. Keep that work up.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, the anger niche. It's a good market. Yeah, big
working,
money in that market.
It's working for me.
All right, let's take a call. We got Joan from St. Paul. Joan, you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Joan. Do you have a question for NatureBats Lab?
Well, a question, maybe more comment. Okay. I love George Carlin, so I like that part that you talked about. And the Windows 10 that Guy was talking about, the same thing kind of happened to me, only it said, whatever you do, just don't shut the computer down. So, of course, that's what I did, and it went away.
So, that
solved
work?
That problem. But one thing I really wanted to call about was... you know, Guy always talks about trying to do form relationships and do something that is you think is worthwhile. And what I would like to see more people do out there, actually, is support the political prisoners. I supported the Cuban Five. I don't know if you know who they are. There were 5 Cuban heroes or political prisoners in this country, for most of them for 16 years. And fought really hard for them. I sent them information that they couldn't get otherwise. Such as from Global Research, I would send them 40-page letters, 20 pages back-to-back, so they could get some other information out there. But anyway, they are all back in Cuba right now. But my main motivation is, because I kind of agree with you and with the guy, that there probably isn't that much longer to on this earth. So I just like to see these political prisoners who are innocent people, who fought for the people, who fought for human rights, who fought for justice, to at least be able to die with their loved ones. And I'm talking about Mumia Abdul-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Sundiata Okuli. And if people are interested, they could go to www.freemumia.com and get on their email list. There's a place right there on that website where you could sign up for their email list. And you could find out about lots of political prisoners out there. I can't keep up with all of the political prisoners. Some of them have been in prison for over 40 years, much of that time in solitary confinement. So why not let these, and of course they do this because they want to set an example so especially the black youth will not organize, because it sends a message, this is what will happen to you if you try to get justice, if you try to serve humanity. But, you know, so why not, though, fight to get them free so they could at least go home and die in the arms of their loved ones, as corny as that might sound to you.
No, I don't think it's corny at all. Could you share that link on our Facebook page at Nature Bets Last?
I won't do Facebook. I refuse to do Facebook.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So
I will send an email.
Send
that's all I'll do. I will not deal with Facebook. I won't deal with any of these groups that, you know, I just
no worries. I just need to get the link so I can put it on the wall.
Oh, it's www.freemumia.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go there, there's a way to sign up for their email list.
All right.
You know, but like Mumia right now, after 30 years, he finally got off death row. And while he's on death row, he wrote 7 books just from death row. One of them got his master's thesis on, called We Want Freedom, A Life in the Black Panther Party. Beautiful, beautiful book. The first part talks about the African Americans' search for real freedom and liberty, which they never really got. And by the way, I'm a white person. The next part's about the Black Panther Party. And he not only talks about their many accomplishments, but he talks about the many mistakes that they made. And he makes it clear how they were infiltrated also and what provocateurs are. So the youth today could learn so much just from reading that book. You know,
right.
They could build from after reading that book.
Right. When I interviewed Jamie Hecht last week, we talked a little bit about the Black Panthers and how they have been murdered by the United States police state. So, I mean, there are many, many examples. We absolutely agree with you about doing what you love and pursuing passionately what you love. And certainly the prison industrial complex is one of the issues that we could take on here with relative ease.
Yeah, Chelsea Manning.
Right.
Right.
Chelsea Manning, speaking of solitary confinement, for providing transparency about government operations.
Right.
Which is what Mr. Transparency ran
on in 2008.
Campaign. It seems like that wasn't that long ago.
No. We didn't hear much of it after 2000 for the 2012.
No, we did not.
All right, next we have John from Texas. John, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, John.
Hey, Guy and Mike. Yeah, that was an excellent call that lady had about political prisoners. But yeah, I was just wanting to comment on people that are aware of abrupt climate change and near-term extinction, but still they refuse to let go of the political system that they've been brought up in. I guess it's just like safe to them, and they still want to believe that, you know, this new political candidate will be the one that will change things. And I just find it sad because, like, I hear them talk and post about how bad things are and how bad the police state is and that, you know, the government's not doing anything. But somehow their candidate will be the first one in history that will change things.
Right.
And, yeah, it just reminds me of, like, you know, they may believe some radical things, but, I mean, I guess overall they're still just a liberal. They're not willing to go past that line that would turn them into a radical, to where they see past the system.
You're right, John. I think there's this, it seems to come up every election cycle, the lesser of two evils argument, in that things, if we don't put so-and-so in office, or if so-and-so gets in office, it's going to be worse than it already is.
Yes.
They don't ever seem to look at the fact that we're just pushing this train down the tracks even further, because we cannot even get past the simplest of things, which is to stop supporting the political system in this country.
Right. I mean, and it wasn't that long. Elizabeth Warren was viewed as a radical.
Yeah.
Right. In 2004, she called Hillary Clinton a puppet mm-hmm. of Wall Street.
Right.
And she endorsed a couple of days ago. Elizabeth Warren endorsed the puppet of Wall Street a couple of days ago. And I promise you that Hillary Clinton has not become less a puppet of Wall Street than she was in 2004. She's become more a puppet, and apparently so is Elizabeth Warren.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the whole Bernie Sanders, the revolution, so to speak.
Right.
The political revolution. We don't need a political revolution.
No, we need a revolution.
We need a meltdown.
We need the Thomas Jefferson Tree of Liberty pruning
right.
kind of revolution.
All right, we have another caller. We have Joanne from New York City. Joanne, you there?
Hello. I'm basically in the middle of this death trap. Oh, man. Hello?
Oh, how you doing, Joanne?
Yeah, I'm basically living in the, basically, some people call it the New York shitty.
Oh, okay. Well, we can go with that.
Yeah, I mean, now that I'm exposing, you know, basically I'm exposed with you guys. Like, I basically see this entire city as a death trap.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
I think
a death
most...
trap waiting to happen.
Yeah. Do you have a question?
Yeah, basically I'm feeling kind of, well, glum and, well, depressed after you guys were basically replaying Bill Hicks and George Carlin, and basically kind of reminds me that maybe these people, I don't know, they probably died maybe thinking about the fact that they don't want to live in 2016 because I don't think their jokes will fly, especially what just happened in Orlando.
Right.
I mean... And maybe I'm just thinking, maybe, let me just get straight to the question. I mean, what do you really have to say about people who live in New York City like I do? I mean, I'm only 25 years old, and I'm just struggling to figure out how to digest all this information while living in a death trap, along with potential psychopaths like Donald Trump as my neighbor in Manhattan.
Okay, well,
what is your take on that?
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. All right. Well, I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, which a huge city that shouldn't exist at all. It only does because of the fossil fuel era. And I really decided to leave Phoenix after talking to Guy in 2008.
I'm sure there's plenty of blame to go around here.
But, yeah. You know, it was one of those things where it started dawning on me that I was surrounded by a bunch of infrastructure that could disappear overnight, and then it would be this mass chaos trying to leave such a place. And that was kind of the initial reason I thought about leaving Phoenix. And then now that I go back and visit, really just the vibration there is insane compared to where I live now. There is such a competition to do and to get anything, even when you pull into the valley, it's all you're already looking for the fast lane so you can, you know, get to wherever you're going quickly. New York City is a different animal, but city in the same case. So,
well, but considering your question, Joanne, and apparently we got the John, Joan, Joanne theme going with questioners today. You know, if you're actually doing what you love, I no longer encourage people to move out of the cities. I just think that you probably would rather be aware than not. If I were living in a city, I would want to know that at some point the city becomes a horrible place to live. Some would argue that it already is, being the apex of civilization. I get lost every time I go to Tucson. I lived there for 23 years, mm-hmm. and I can't even drive around the corner there anymore without wondering where I'm at. And so I'm at a complete loss when I find myself in a city anymore. but I used to love living there.
Yeah, convenient.
It's everything's convenient.
They have Whole Foods.
Right around the corner.
Well, not the...
right, but the restaurant.
But try living that with like 9 million people and counting.
Well, right. You know, we recognize that there are disadvantages associated with living in a city, and when the infrastructure fails, it's going to be a lot worse. It's going to be a lot less convenient than the plus side of the ledger of convenience from living there now. But I think if you actually know that and know that at some point the unsustainability, the lack of persistence of city living, when you know that's built in and it's not going to last forever, then maybe you still make the decision to live in the cities. And I know people, I have a former student who I just love who lives in New York City and has a television show there on vegan Mexican cooking, and she and her husband just had a baby there, and they know everything.
Yeah.
You know, they know what's coming, and they just choose to live there. They think it's a phenomenal place to live and to die. And they recognize that they could die any time, and so they're living fully now. So, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I couldn't take it anymore.
No one here gets out alive regardless.
Right.
If you live in a city or you live very rural. And so we don't know when things are going to happen. You know, doesn't necessarily mean climate change is going to get us. So live
right.
your life.
Right, right. You know, Sheila and I just watched the first episode of that television show that was on HBO 15 years ago.
Six Feet Under,
that's right. And, the opening scene, this guy is driving a hearse and he gets hit by a bus.
Right.
It could happen.
Right.
Could happen. Is that a bus I hear? could happen any time.
You just ruined the whole series.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, man. It's 15 years
now,
ago.
Whatever,
they haven't seen it yet. Come on.
Well, should we move on?
Yeah, let's broaden the scope a bit. Let's hear from Louis C.K. on some of the consequences of personal consumption. He starts funny, but once the laughs start rolling in, he turns deadly serious. Warmed up by his humor and the laughter from the crowd, we laugh anyway, mostly in self-defense. This is Of Course But Maybe from Louis C.K.
Of good thoughts and bad thoughts. Hopefully the good thoughts win. For me, I always have both. I have, like, the thing I believe, the good thing. That's the thing I believe. And then there's this thing. And I don't believe it, but it is there. It's always this thing and then this thing. It's become a category in my brain that I call, of course, but maybe. I'll give you an example. Okay, like of course, children who have nut allergies need to be protected. Of course. We have to segregate their food from nuts. Have their medication available at all times. And anybody who manufactures or serves food needs to be aware of deadly nut allergies. Of course. But maybe, if touching a nut kills you, you're supposed to die. Of course not. Jesus. I have a nephew who has that. I'd be devastated if something happened to him. But maybe, if we all just do this for 1 year, we're done with nut allergies forever. No, of course not. Of course, if you're fighting for your country and you get shot or hurt, it's a terrible tragedy. Of course. But maybe if you pick up a gun and go to another country and you get shot, it's not that weird. Maybe if you get shot by the dude you were just shooting at, it's a tiny bit your fault. Of course, slavery is the worst thing that ever happened. Listen, you all clapped for dead kids with the nuts. For kids dying from nuts, you applauded. So you're in this with me now, do you understand? You don't get to cherry pick. Those kids did nothing to you. Of course, slavery is the worst thing that ever happened. Of course it is. Every time it's happened, black people in America, Jews in Egypt, every time a whole race of people has been enslaved, it's a terrible, horrible thing. Of course. But maybe every incredible human achievement in history was done with slaves. Every single thing where you go, how did they build those pyramids? They just threw human death and suffering at them until they were finished. How did we traverse the nation with a railroad so quickly? We just threw Chinese people in caves and blew them up and didn't give a shit what happened to them. There's no end to what you can do when you don't give a fuck about particular people. You can do anything. That's where human greatness comes from, is that we're shitty people, that we fuck others over. Even today, how do we have this amazing microtechnology? Because the factory where they're making these, they jump off the fucking roof because it's a nightmare in there. You really have a choice. You can have candles and horses and be a little kinder to each other, or let someone suffer immeasurably far away just so you can leave a mean comment on YouTube while you're taking a shit.
I guess we made our choice.
Yeah. Well, and this, I brought this up, you know, several times on this program, not this particular episode, but throughout our show's history, that Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, talks about this in the form of hidden relationships. And we you know, you and I joke about this all the time when we, you know, somebody brings some food over and we go, oh, is this free range? Is this organic? No hidden relationships? Hidden relationships? And the hidden relationships are the people that you don't hear about jumping off the roof, people that you hear don't hear about in the mines, and the people you hear about don't hear about that are being exploited, and so on and so forth. This stuff just shows up.
Right. You know, and nobody gets to take on slavery.
No.
But Louis C.K. can.
Yeah.
And make it funny as hell.
Yeah.
And that's what makes comedians such amazing social critics.
That's what separates Louis C.K. from Ted Kaczynski. Well, that's blowing people up.
Well, yeah. Well, but the way he talks about deer,
right?
You know, he wants to blow them up.
He wants to blow them up.
But at least he's quite out in the open about it. You know, social criticism isn't just whining. I hear this all the time, that social criticism is just whining.
Right.
And from Louis C.K.'s perspective, he's pointing out that there are things we can do. So he's taking the what I would call the activist social criticism perspective of trying to get people to change. And we've been trying to do that, too, with limited success, I would say.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because it's going to fix anything.
No.
But because sometimes doing the right thing, even if you are going to die, isn't such a bad idea.
Or at the very least, it's an attempt at honesty.
Right.
It's an attempt at getting to some sort of truth, if there is such a thing. And you and I get accused all the time. You're a fatalist. You're a pessimist.
Right. Why don't you just kill yourself?
Why don't you just kill yourself? And quite frankly, the people that are killing us are the idealists.
Yeah. Yeah. Progress is how to kill as many people as fast as possible.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's the definition in the dictionary, but I'm not sure.
No, it certainly isn't the the all-encompassing definition that we used for much of our existence, but lately, progress is about death, devouring.
Right. And even today at Coffee, I heard yet again, jokingly, from the folks at Coffee, that I'm the leader of a death cult. And then everybody laughs.
Right.
As if this culture we're embedded in isn't the death cult.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You pointed out, and you're suddenly the leader.
Exactly.
As if it's that simple.
Exactly. Right. And so I asked Steve if he brought the Kool-Aid this week. And if not, what kind of follower is he?
Right.
Okay. Stand-up isn't the only way to provide social commentary. Let's take a little break from comedy and our commentary with a short dose of music. Dozens of songs tackle the topic of death disparity, going all the way back to the 60s and probably earlier. Here's Society from Eddie Vedder.
Mystery to me, we have agreed with which we have agreed. And you think you have to want more than you need. Until you have it all, you won't be free. Society, your crazy breed. Hope you're not lonely without me. When you want more than you have, you think you need. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. I think think I need to find a bigger place. It's when you have more than you think, you need more space. Society, you're crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Less is more, but if less is more, how you keeping score? It means for every point you make, your level drops. Kinda like you're starting from the top, and you can't do that. Society, you're crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, have mercy on me. I hope you're not angry if I disagree. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me.
That's Society by Eddie Vedder, lead singer of Pearl Jam, and I'd like to give a shout out to Jay Purcell, who recommended that song to me a few years ago. So thanks, Jay. Society, you're a crazy breed.
Indeed.
All right.
I'm glad we're not part of that.
No, yeah.
Oh, wait.
We're different. All right, we're running short on time. Guy, you got a climate update this week.
Yeah, thanks to Robert from Tampa, we were unable to take your call because we're running short on time. Immediately after the close of last week's show, during which I mentioned that Arctic sea ice decline was about 2 weeks ahead of 2012, the year of the lowest Arctic sea ice on record, this headline showed up from the Washington Post, quote, "We've never seen anything like this. Arctic sea ice hit a stunning new low in May," end quote. The director of the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center was quoted in the paper by Chris Mooney, "It's way below the previous record, very far below it, and we're something like almost a month ahead of where we were in 2012. All my prior statements and predictions continue to be eclipsed by reality, which is occurring faster than expected. In the case of Arctic sea ice, May 2016 was more like June 2016, which was the record-breaking year. Going into the truly warm months of the year, then, the ice is in a uniquely weak state." And just in case there was any confusion about this issue, the Washington Post is a conservative source. Along with the New York Times, the Post is the leading cheerleader for American empire.
Not according to Trump. Sorry. Continue.
Don't mind the editorializing in the background, listeners. A paper in the June 9, 2016 issue of Nature Communications includes data from the Greenland 2015 melt season titled "Arctic Cutoff High Drives the Poleward Shift of a New Greenland Melting Record." The abstract reports, quote, "We show that the persistence of an exceptional atmospheric ridge centered over the Arctic Ocean was responsible for a poleward shift of runoff, albedo, and surface temperature records over the Greenland during the summer of 2015. End quote. This finding is consistent with Jennifer Francis's long disparaged idea about the loopy, wavy jet stream. The paper's abstract concludes, quote, "The unprecedented 1948 to 2015 and sustained atmospheric conditions promoted enhanced runoff, increased the surface temperatures, and decreased the albedo in northern Greenland, while inhibiting melting in the south, where new melting records were set over the past decade. A paper in the June 10, 2016 issue of Science Advances points out that the effects of climate change in one place can radiate all over the world. The abstract of the paper concludes, quote, since 2001, economic connectivity has augmented in such a way as to facilitate the cascading of production loss. The influence of this structural change has dominated over the effect of the comparatively weak climate warming during this decade. Thus, particularly under future warming, the intensification of international trade has the potential to amplify climate losses if no adaptation measures are taken. When we're considering conservative sources such as the journal literature, I think it's safe to remove the word potential to amplification and also assume no adaptation measures will be taken.
All right, folks. Well, that about wraps it up this week. Make sure to like our Facebook page, NatureBats Labs and Progressive Radio Network, and join our Facebook group as well. It's NatureBats Labs and PRN.fm. Feel free to post questions you'd like us to address in the show, and please share widely the link to the show and information from this show. Also, continue to follow Guy's blog at GuyMcPherson.com for further updates, essays, and speaking tours, and you can follow my weekly essay every Sunday at the Good Men Project. We'll see you on the radio next Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's another clip-based show, commentary show, social commentary show, and we'll basically be talking about things we need explained to us, like doomers who vote. If you missed us live, make sure to find us in the archives at PRN.fm or Stitcher.com and rate us on iTunes. Thanks again to our listeners and our callers. And until next time, remember the dominant culture has been very clever, but in the end...
Nature bats last.